Good morning. You all seem a little sleepy this morning. Are you okay? I hope so. It was a long day yesterday, wasn't it? It's an interesting day. I have to say that if I don't see Guy Hagi's face on the television for the next 10 years, it'll be just fine with me. How many of you were afraid yesterday? Anybody? How many of you are honest? You don't have to be. I was afraid. I was afraid yesterday. And not because I haven't been in my share of natural disasters. In fact, my wife's sister called and said, "So you were in the big earthquake in San Francisco. You've been in tornado after tornado." She said, "And so now you move to Hawaii where they have tsunamis. Can't you live somewhere safe?" And we said, no. I really did find myself anxious yesterday, and in fact, in a kind of uncharacteristic state of mind. Those of you who know me know that usually I make a decision, and that's it. I've made my decision, and I don't equivocate very much, and I'm very good at apologizing. But I couldn't make up my mind yesterday about what to do. I found myself kind of paralyzed. And of course, what was at stake was I didn't know where I needed to be yesterday. I had all of these people telling me, those of you who know I have a boat, I had all these people telling me yesterday, get down to the harbor and take your boat to sea. And I thought to myself, well, is that really where I should go? Is that, what if something actually happens? Who's going to be there to open up the church? And I'm sure all of you were trying to figure out where you should be. And do you stay with your family? Do you go do whatever? Do you go down and take care of the poor, scared tourists? I don't know. So we equivocated all morning. And this is the downside. When something bad happens on Saturday, you have to rewrite your sermon for Sunday. Because if you don't, people say, did he know that there was a tsunami yesterday? Is he really that dumb? So this whole thing with Abram came to me in the midst of all of this stuff. And so finally, with all of this advice that we got yesterday about what we needed to do, we finally drove down to Waikiki at 9 o'clock or a little before 9 o'clock to go do something, right? Because I'm equivocating back and forth, and my very lovely wife says, well, it seems to me we should do something before you explode. So we did. And we went down to the harbor, and we tried to decide what to do with our boat, and finally we called our friend Gary. With 40 years of experience as a professional captain, he, of course, is out there in the open ocean. And he says, well, if you're not coming out here, you need to just take the thing and put it between two floating docks and tie the heck of it and go home. So we did. Finally, a decision. I felt good. And we pulled the boat over to the dock and we started to tie it up, and a voice comes from far across the way, and a guy says, that's a really bad idea. Now what do you do? And finally we decided, we know Gary, and we don't know that other guy, so we're going with Gary's advice. And we decided that in the end, it didn't matter. It's just a thing. We knew that our place, my place, was to be among you, to be here, to be with family. And I decided that if the tsunami came and the stupid boat ended up in the lobby of the Hawaii Prince Hotel, I would charge them for interior decorating. Don't be afraid is what God says to Abraham, and that kept coming back to me. And this wonderful psalm that you heard the choir sing a few moments ago, remember that I am your shield. These are words that we need to hear not only in times of natural disasters, but for also all the little disasters in each moment of our life. We need to keep hearing again and again that God promises to be faithful. That day, Abram stood before God, and he was worried. He didn't have a proper heir, and he says, the only heir I have is Eleazar of Damascus. He's not even one of us. And God says, I promise you this covenant. You will have descendants as numerous as the sand. You know how that all goes. No matter what, I will be with you. Now, God says this to Abram, not because Abram is a particularly good guy, right? I mean, as a matter of fact, if you read your Bible and you read Genesis, you'll find out that after Abram becomes Abraham, he does all kinds of wild stuff. He's just a guy. And yet God keeps God's promise to Abraham and his descendants and to us. I will be with you, God says. So fast forward. Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's there doing what Jesus does. He's healing and he's preaching and he's doing all of these good things. Herod now has gotten wind of what's going on. And some of the Pharisees came to him and said, get away from here. Herod wants to kill you. Now, depending on your Jesus, the Jesus in your head, what you hear next can take different shapes. I've usually heard it read, well, go and tell that fox for me. Listen. I'm casting out demons, and I'm performing cures today and tomorrow, and all that good stuff, and that's all right. But what I hear in my head, my Jesus isn't all that nice. I hear a sort of sarcastic Jesus in my head. I hear Jesus saying, look, you go tell that fox for me that I am here today and tomorrow and the next day, and I am casting out demons, and I'm doing what needs to be done each and every day until I finish my work. And I must be on my way. Wow. What I hear in those words of Jesus is that no danger or principality or power, no politic, no personal danger will keep him from his work. He says in that text, it's a very confusing text in some ways, he says, yet today and tomorrow and the next day, I must be on my way. And yet he also says, today and tomorrow and the next day, I will be here doing my work. The way to which Jesus refers becomes a code word for the early Christian community, which didn't call itself Lutheran or Christian or anything. They called themselves the way. I will be on my way. I will do my work. I will heal. I will cast out demons. I will be in the midst of the people no matter what. Again, Jesus reiterates the promise. I will be with you no matter what. And he laments that this political thing that's going to happen here in the midst of his own people will lead to his death, but he knows that the cross will draw us together. And he says in this wonderfully feminine image, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long I have desired to gather the children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. God's deep and abiding love for God's people. Just by sheer serendipity, as I sat down this morning, I sat down on the hen gathering her brood. Sorry about that. She's a little flatter than she was earlier. But this wonderful image of how God gathers us in our fears and our desperation, in our anxieties, in times of crisis, natural and unnatural. We know that we live in such a difficult world, personally and collectively. Do your own litany. It's tax time, pretty soon. Tsunamis, earthquakes in Chile, earthquakes in Haiti. I swear almost everyone I know seems to have cancer. And yet, in the midst of all of this, God says again and again, do not be afraid. I am about my work, and you are on the way. And out of that promise, that wonderful and powerful and ever-present promise, God then bids us to become hands for the world. As someone said yesterday, well, now we've gotten past our own tsunami threat. Let's turn our attention to those who have actually been hurt. Our prayers and our money and our effort turn then to Haiti and to the people who have been so hurt in Chile. Because God's promise extends also to them through us. So in these anxious days, as we prepare to receive the Easter promise, we are rooted in the promise God made to Abraham. That indeed we would be descendants, and that indeed the promise would be passed down generation to generation, even to us. And the promise of Christ before the cross, that he would be on the way and bid us follow. So as you move through your Lenten journey, indeed let us give thanks to God for the gifts that God gives us, for the safety that we do not sometimes expect, for the quelling of our fears and our anxieties, but most of all, for a God who through thick and thin, through good and evil, through anxiety and joy, promises always to be with us. Amen.